Philippians 1, we're going to look at verses 20 to 29 together this morning. The Apostle Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi about their faith and using himself as an example, which he often did. And here in verse 20 he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So Christ shall be magnified in my body. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word to teach and grow us this morning. We are so grateful for the privilege to assemble here and open your word together, and pray now the Holy Spirit would use it to teach us and move us, Lord, and just refine us. May you be glorified in all that's said and done. May Jesus be magnified and lifted up and meet with us, we pray in his name. Amen. So as Paul said there in verse 20, he says, Christ shall be magnified in my body. That is God's ultimate goal for each of us, is that he be magnified through us. That's why he saved us and left us here, so that we could bring him glory. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are here to lift him up. We are here to praise him. We're here to magnify him before the world. And so Paul, in speaking to the church of Philippi, he's talking about an upcoming possible revisit to them. He's trying to encourage them in their faith, and he's also sharing the ways in which we can magnify Christ through our lives. And there's a bunch of them that he lists for us, and we're going to learn from this morning. But he starts there in verse 20 by talking about boldness. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also. One of the ways we can magnify the Lord in our bodies is to be bold in our faith. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And in Romans, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We are to be bold in our faith. We have Jesus on our side. We're going to heaven. We're his children. God wants us to be bold, and that glorifies him when we boldly speak his word. And that is one of the ways that, as Paul said here in verse 20, we can magnify Christ in our body. And really, it comes down to asking the question, is Christ worth it? And we all know the answer to that question, don't we? Is it worth our energy? Is it worth our time to do everything in our power to magnify him? Because in heaven, according to Revelation chapter 5, we'll be singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Well, he'll be worthy then. He's worthy now. And he's worthy for us to do everything in our power to magnify him. Go to 1 Corinthians 6:20. I know most of you know this verse by heart already, but the Bible tells us that we are his. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, yes, we're here to magnify Christ in our body, but you know what? It's actually his body. Because he bought it with his blood, and he owns us. He owns our body, he owns our spirit, and we're here to magnify him, as Paul shared here. And so one of the ways we can do that, verse 20, is to be bold in our faith. To be bold. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. If you're afraid to witness for Christ, that didn't come from God. It came from another spirit. So number one, we can be bold. Number two, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Another way that we can glorify Christ, magnify Christ in our body, is to live for Him. What does that mean? To make our life all about Him rather than us. Now, most of you know Romans 12:1, but that's exactly what it's talking about. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. What does that mean? A living sacrifice. It means not literally dying, but admitting that He owns us and that we are completely His. And that we give ourselves completely to Him. Go to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, quickly, where the Bible teaches that we are here to not only live for Christ, but that He is our life. And therefore, we need to be living Him. Notice Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. So we can magnify Christ not only by being bold in our faith, but by living for Him. We're here to live for Him. Living our lives for Him. And as Paul said, for me to live is Jesus. For me to live my life, it's all about Jesus. He is my life, and I want to live my life for Him. But then he goes on to say in verse 21, and this is the third thing this morning, he says, and to die is gain. Now there's really a double meaning in that saying. First of all, as Christians, we're to be dead to self. And when we do crucify self, we gain blessings. But second of all, when we physically die, we gain heaven. And so we gain in both counts, don't we? We gain when we die to self, and we gain when we die physically by leaving this wicked earth and in our worn out bodies and live and being with Jesus. And Paul is referring to both. To die is gain. Well, are we first of all willing to die to self? And isn't that what Paul meant when he said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What's he saying? That I'm going to die to self. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. And so, the more that we die to self, the more that we gain as Christians. And of course, Paul was also referring to the fact that when we die, we gain. Because he's going to talk about that here in a moment. When he wrote Philippians, he had already been through that experience that we read about, where he was stoned and his disciples gave him up for dead, remember? And then he just stood up and said, let's go. They thought he was dead. He might have been, because he recounts that experience later on in Corinthians and says that God gave him a glimpse of heaven. Well, once you get a glimpse of heaven, you want to go there. And that was Paul's thing, as we saw later on. And we all believe, and we wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't believe that to be absent from the body is to what? Present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So, if we're going to magnify Christ, we need to be bold in our faith. We need to live for Jesus, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God. And we need to die to self. Push self out of the way. He's dead anyway. Stop listening to him. And then Paul talks about this a bit more in verse 22. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. He says, I'm caught in the middle. He says, I have a desire to depart. Paul's getting to the end of his ministry and he says, the truth is, I'm ready to go to heaven. He's not talking about suicide here, but he's saying, I'm ready. Many times he said in Acts, we see it in 2 Timothy, he says, I'm ready to go. I fought my course. I finished I fought the fight. I finished my course. I'm ready. What do you mean? Well, I've already been given a glimpse of heaven. Not many people have had that. And I'm ready to go. I know what's waiting on the other side. And he says, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I'm ready. But he says, verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I'd rather just go to heaven, but God wants me to stay on earth a bit longer for the sake of the churches. And that was the truth. God decides when it's our time. And it wasn't Paul's time when he was writing Philippians. He said, the truth is, I'd rather just go and be with Jesus forever. But for now, I need to stay here because you need me as the apostle to the Gentiles. To abide in the flesh is more needful. And he talks about how that's a blessing. But then in verse 27, he gives us more about how we can magnify Christ. And notice verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That word conversation is talking about our behavior, our whole behavior. And he says basically, live what you profess to be. You profess to be a Christian. You profess to be one that's been converted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your conversation be of that. Be an example of being a Christian. Go to Ephesians 4:1, and we'll see where he tells it a different way, but the same truth, and that is, if you are a born-again, believing Christian, he's saying, act like one. And that's one of the ways we can magnify Christ in our body, is act like a Christian. Notice Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What's the vocation? Christian, soldier, servant, take your pick. But he's saying walk worthy. Walk your talk, in other words. Claim to be a Christian, act like a Christian. And that is one of the ways that we can magnify Christ in our bodies. So number one, we can be bold in our faith. Number two, we need to live for Christ. Number three, we need to die to self. And number four, our conversation, our behavior needs to be in accordance with our profession, which is to be a Christian. Number five, verse 27, he says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. He says to the Philippians, another way that you can magnify Christ in your body is to stand fast. And this means even more to us 2,000 years later, does it not? When you look at how wicked the world is, it's getting harder and harder to stand, isn't it? But we're commanded to. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye stand fast in the faith. Stand fast for what's true. Another word God, he uses is steadfast. Be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So God wants us to stand fast. And one of the ways that he can be magnified in our body is that we stand for what's right, that we stand for the truth. That's what Jude talked about in his book, that we stand for what's right. And then, so that I think was number five. Number six, he says in verse 27, one spirit and one mind. Another way that Christ can be magnified in our bodies is that there's unity among his people in his churches. One spirit, one mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:10. And Paul here, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:10, he had to tell them the same thing because they had divisions in their church. And Paul had to give them a bit of a rebuke for that. But notice he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Be unified, in other words, in your goals, in your beliefs, be unified. And you know, when we are unified because we have the same Holy Spirit, that magnifies Christ. And then number 20, verse 27, number 1, 2, 3, I should have numbered these, 4, 5, 6, is striving together. Maybe it's seven. Oh, it is seven. Striving together. Now that word strive means to fight. Say, well, I thought we weren't supposed to fight. We're not supposed to fight each other, but we are supposed to fight the devil for the cause of lost souls. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, when we pray for the lost, when we witness to the lost, that's a battle. There's 100 other things our flesh would rather do than pray, especially for lost people. It's just the facts. You know why that is? Because the devil hates it when we do. And whenever we open our mouth to witness to the lost, the devil hates that too. And so he fights us, he resists us. And so Paul says one of the ways that you could magnify Christ is to strive together for the gospel. To get the gospel out. Fight what, however you need to fight. And then in verse 28, number 8 I think. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Did you know that when we're afraid, it dishonors God? Because what we're saying is that God can't take care of us. That's why all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, we have a theme that says, fear not, don't be afraid, fear not. Why? Because God's on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, David said, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear, in Psalm 118, verse 6. God is on our side. And that doesn't mean we're not going to have adversaries. Go to 1 Corinthians 16:9. Paul acknowledged that we're going to have people fight against us, but that doesn't mean that we need to be afraid of them. Talking about this word adversaries, he says, nothing terrified by your adversaries. Notice 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So Paul acknowledged that there are many adversaries. The devil's going to fight against us. The world's going to fight against us. Our own flesh fights against us. They're all around us. And yet all through the Scriptures we're told, fear not, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified by your adversaries. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil's powerful, Jesus is more powerful, and he lives in us. So nothing terrified, don't be afraid. But then verse 29, unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. He's saying to the church there at Philippi, yes, it's God's will that you trust Christ, that you believe on Christ, and that you get saved. Hallelujah for that. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Wouldn't you know, the last one would be that. Is that number 8 or 9? Suffer for his sake. Number 9. 9 ways in this little short passage that Christ can be magnified in our bodies. He wants us to be bold in the faith. He wants us to live for Christ. He wants us to die to self. He wants our conversation to be in accordance with our profession of being a Christian. He wants us to stand fast, be unified, strive together for the gospel, not be afraid, but also to suffer. And if you're born again Christian, you will suffer. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to have afflictions. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He says, I know that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. What did Job say? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He says, I know this is God's will. And if you would look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul acknowledged that our sufferings are God's will. But how do we respond to the sufferings? By getting angry or frustrated with God, or by trusting God. Look at Israel. What angered God more than anything? was whenever the trials came, what did they do but get angry at God and blame God and complain? What does that say again? It's saying God can't take care of me or God's making a mistake, and neither one of those things are true. Notice 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Those afflictions that seem heavy, when we get to heaven, they'll seem light. Paul said, "I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us," in Romans 8:18. So yes, one of the ninth way, according to this passage, that we can magnify Christ in our body is to suffer for His sake. Handle the suffering in a godly way. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter 5:10, "The God of all glory hath called you to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." After you've suffered a while, establish, strengthen, settle. It's God's will. But we need to handle them with the right attitude. And so Paul, writing to these Philippians, he says, "What I want more than anything is that Christ be magnified in your body. I hope to come see you again. I don't know that I will." And we don't know for sure whether Paul ever made it back to Philippi before he was martyred in Rome. But he wanted to go back. And until then, he says, "Until I get there, if I do, I want you to live for Christ. I want you to be bold. I want you to die to self. I want you to be an example of being a Christian. I want you to stand and be unified. And I want you to strive together and don't be afraid." And lastly, be willing to suffer for His sake and handle the suffering in a godly way. And all of these things, back up to verse 20, he's saying, are ways that Christ can be magnified in us. And ultimately, again, that's why we're here. We're going to be in heaven one day, and we're going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," to receive honor and glory and blessing and power and wisdom and riches and strength and thanksgiving and might and salvation. And think about that. We get to see Jesus. And we'll look back, and we won't say, "Oh, that suffering was so terrible." We'll say, "That was nothing compared to what I have now." So God wants us, while we're here on this earth, for this short little time, to magnify Him. That's not referring to the worship that we perform on a Sunday morning. That is one way to magnify Him. That's talking about magnifying Him with our lives. That's what all these points are saying. That Monday through Saturday, we magnify Him with how we act, which is to act like a Christian, a godly, biblical Christian. "He shall be magnified in my body." Let's make that real. Let's pray.